Sermon text is Psalm 90, verses 1 through 6, which means you'll have to turn a page. I think you can just flip this centerpiece over, and you will find the line that says, "You sweep them away with a flood," at the top of your page, followed by the sermon title, "Our Hope in Darkness." That'll give you the text for the sermon. You can follow along in your Bible, but the sermon text is printed there. We're looking at Psalm 90, verses 1 through 6. Hopefully my sermon notes aren't arranged as the bulletin. That would be interesting. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing on our time as we study His Word. Father, we are here in your presence to hear you speak. We thank you that you are a God who has revealed yourself to us. We know you to be the God who has created us. You are the maker of heaven and earth. You are the God who has done so much in showing us grace and forgiveness by sending your Son and sending your Holy Spirit to be that eternal comforter who lives within us and brings to us the presence of the risen Christ. We thank you that we are able even today to open our Bibles or to look at words printed on a page and to know with absolute confidence that this is you speaking. Wisdom that comes from the ages. Words that were inspired by your Holy Spirit as you moved men many years ago to write down exactly what you wanted to be written. And sometimes they wrote history, and sometimes they wrote prophecies, sometimes they wrote letters, and some recorded gospels. Various kinds of writings, and yet one Spirit speaking for you, our God in heaven, and spoken all to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this morning as we approach your word that we would take it seriously, that we would listen and respect your word for what it truly is, that you would forgive us of our failures and our clumsiness and our inadequacies, and thank you that you do remember that we are but dust, and that we can know that you will be a gracious and merciful God to us. And so hear this prayer and bless our time as we study your word, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 90, verses 1 through 6. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past. Or as a watch in the night, you sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, the grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers." Advent is a time of longing and waiting. Longing and waiting for something better. People walking in darkness. People living in a dark land and at a dark time in history, conscious of their human frailty and the shortness of life, and yet, by God's grace, they have a joyful hope for the future. People walking in darkness, and yet God has promised that we will see a great light. And where you and I stand this morning, we know that that great light has already come. The angel announced it. Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy, for unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And we know from the Bible that through the death of this Savior on the cross, we have now been set free from our sin and our death, from hell, and our darkness and hopelessness have already been shattered by the bright light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet here we are this morning, at the end of what has been a very dark year. It's December the 13th. 2020. Still walking in darkness. Still living in a dark land. Still dragging ourselves through a world where anybody can see that things are just not right. Where is this promise? This Advent promise of this great light that is to shine and to dispel the darkness. Every day there's sickness, disease, disappointment, and death. There's violence, hatred, injustice, meanness, war, rumors of war, pestilence. Every day we wake up longing for something better. But we wake up each day in hope of God's Advent promise. People walking in darkness will see a great light. The decisive battle against sin, death, and the devil has already been won, but there are still pockets of resistance. There is a lingering darkness in this sad world, but we're headed for a new world where there will be no more night, no more sadness, no more darkness, no more death. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses where we hear Moses asking God for the wisdom that we need to make the most of life. Verse 12, he says, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." We need wisdom so that we can keep looking through the darkness to see the light that is yet to come. And Moses begins this prayer with a great thought to encourage us in those first two verses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is our eternal dwelling place. God is our resting place. God is our true home, our help in ages past and our hope for years to come. But we need to hear everything that Moses says in this prayer. We need to embrace all that he says in this prayer because we still struggle with darkness. Human life is still fragile, it's still fleeting, and it's often very tedious because of our sin and the sin of others. Moses now gives us three different images, at least three images, to describe the problem that God will one day remove. First of all, there's the image of dust. It's in verse 3. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." Now remember that Moses is the one writing this psalm. He is the one praying this prayer. And Moses is obviously reflecting back on something that he had written earlier, in those first chapters, the book of Genesis. Moses learned straight from God that we are all made of dust. Genesis 2, verse 7, "The Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Dust became a living being. And then because of Adam's sin and disobedience, our destiny is dust. Genesis 3:19, By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. And our whole being, body, soul, and spirit, can now be said to have this dust-like, fragile character. Psalm 103. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but what? Dust. God remembers that that's what we are like. And so here's the problem. All we are is dust in the wind. No roots, no life, no leaves, no fruit, no future, no stability, nothing like a living tree. Dust is easily blown away and lost forever. And dust is so dull, isn't it? It's unlike the rest of God's creation. There's no beauty in dust. Green hills, blue sky, fluffy white clouds, purple mountain majesties, amber waves of grain, watching the sunset on the Ashley River or watching the sun rise out on Sullivan's Island. There's no beauty in dust. Dust is so dull and it's lifeless and it's boring, and all we are is dust in the wind. Can there be any future for dust? Any hope for something better? God's law says, return to dust, you mortals. But God's good news says, dust can be changed into something beautiful. Yes, there can be a bright and shining future for the dust. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Great chapter that gives us hope of the resurrection. Paul is thinking along the same lines. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. And then Paul explains this for us. I tell you this, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised. He's saying that dust will be raised, imperishable, and we shall be changed. You know, every time as a pastor that I have stood before an empty grave and watched them lower the casket into the ground, I have read those same familiar words. Unto the mercy of God Almighty, we commend the soul of our sister or our brother, and we commit her body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But it doesn't end there, does it? In the hope, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, it is possible for dust to live. Second, there's another image. This time it's of a single passing day. verse 4, Psalm 90. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Now again, Moses is meditating on the book of Genesis, but this time he's thinking about Genesis chapter 5. That long, tedious account of Adam's family, I would imagine that it is one of those chapters you just want to kind of skim or skip over. If you start reading the Bible in January and you're going to read through, and it's pretty interesting until you get to chapter 5, and it's just a lot of list of names. Adam lived 930 years and then he died. His son Seth lived 912 years and then he died. Enosh lived 905 years and then he died. Kenan lived 910 years and then he died. Methuselah lived 969 years. And Moses is obviously thinking, you know, all of these people almost lived to be 1,000 years. But now, looking back at them, they're just names on a page. They're just names. Their whole existence seems to be just a single day. 1,000 years are but as one day, yesterday. Human life is here today and gone tomorrow, as fleeting as a dream. But God says there can be another day. There's hope for a tomorrow, a new day. God's law says that your whole life is like one day, and even if you happen to live to be 1,000 years in your sight, God, are like a day that has just gone by. But God's good news in Jesus is that there's a new day coming, another day, a new day. Peter talks about this, 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter's obviously thinking on what Moses has read. Verse 8, he says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." Then Peter makes his appeal. "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." A day is coming when God will make everything right. It is possible because of Jesus Christ for us to live in this new day, in new heavens and a new earth. Finally, there's an image of dry grass. Again, Psalm 90, verses 5 and 6, "You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers." Dry, withered grass. It's a common biblical picture for our human frailty. We hear the words so often. They're quoted in the New Testament. But In Isaiah 40, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. People are like grass. But God says that there's hope for grass. There is hope for the dry grass. God's law says that because of our sin, you and I will wither and die like the grass. But Jesus says, you can live. Now, I don't know if you've ever peeked at the end of the Bible to see how the story turns out. The very last picture on the last page of the Bible is not that of field after field of dry, withering grass waiting to be burned. The last picture in the Bible is not dead grass, but it is the tree of life. Revelation 22. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. A people walking in darkness will see this great light. Not just dust, but to be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, to be raised imperishable, immortal, for this dust to then bear the image of the man of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just for one passing day, but for an eternal day, a day that will never end, to live forever in new heavens and a new earth, and to become not dead grass, but those who flourish, constantly fed from the tree of life, Jesus Christ himself. Let's pray. Father, we ask simply this morning that you would grant to us this Advent hope, that as we are living here and walking through life and walking in what is a very dark land and a very dark time of history, that you would continue to feed us and nourish us and encourage us and to point us forward that we might see that light. The light that has already appeared in the person of Jesus Christ, and yet that promise of light that is completely unobscured by anything fallen with this world. That day when we will behold him face to face, that we will see God, that we will be caught up into the heavenly places to live forever, new heavens, a new earth, enjoying the favorable presence of our God and Father in heaven. Father, so work this hope within us that we would be able to persevere through this sad life that lies before us today. Do this for the glory of Christ and for the good of your people. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.